the Lord himself may direct his word to your hearts, and that he would use what I say to bring honor to himself. I've told you before that it's a great privilege for Jeannie and I to be here. It was a rather strange thing that we would come to a missionary church, but the Lord has made us to be missionaries, and we're happy to be in this church and happy to be a part of it, to be a part of the family. And having been here through these months, we have not only learned to love you and appreciate you, but we have learned to recognize that our church has been through a difficult time. And we could go back and review, and you could review as to what has transpired in these last few years and recognize that mistakes have been made and that things have been said that have been hurtful, and there has been some bitterness. But we're not here to review that this morning. We're here to thank God that he would not have us reflect upon the past, but that he would have us to look to the future. And as we think about our church, we have to ask ourselves the question, who are we? Who really are we in this day in which we live? And we recognize that God has given to us in his word a pattern. He's given to us the plan and the specification for who we need to be. And in the plan, the word of God, we have a very clear description of what we're supposed to be. And God gave to us in his word the picture of what the church should be in the second chapter of Acts and through the Acts of the Apostles. So we recognize from Scripture that the plan is that this is Jesus' church. Matthew 18, verse 16, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, when Peter had made the confession, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus said, upon this profession, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church, internationally, universally, is the church of the Lord Jesus. And the word church simply means the called out ones, called out from the world and from the world system, to be Christ's. And it's his church. He is the head of the church. And as there is a universal church in Africa, in Canada, and throughout the world for all time, there are local churches, assemblies of people, such as Markham Missionary Church, that assemble together voluntarily, who are Christ's, who have been called out from the world, and we find ourselves a separate entity in the whole body of Christ. We are a separate entity, and as we were hearing this morning, we are indigenous. That is, we are self-supporting, we are self-governing, and we are directed of the Spirit of God, and the Lord Jesus, as he's the head of the universal church, is the head of our church. And the Lord Jesus, in directing his word to us, said to us that he is the head, we are the body. And he likened our church to being his body. And we are the body of Christ in the community where we are. And the body of Christ has responsibility not only to Markham, but we have responsibility to additional provinces and to other parts of the world. And that's why we're involved in missionary activity and send these dear friends across the world to proclaim the message of the gospel. Because we are Christ's church doing his bidding, and he's given us a mandate to go and make disciples of all nations, make disciples here where we are, and to baptize them and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he commanded, and that's our mandate, and it doesn't change. We may change certain things about our constitution, but we don't change the mandate. The Lord Jesus is the head. We don't change his word. It's revelationally given, therefore we don't need to change it. So God has given to us his word. He's given to us the pattern for the church, and the pattern in the New Testament church was that those who received the Lord Jesus to be Savior were baptized. They were added to the church, the local body of believers in Jerusalem. And they had a large body of people. They had thousands of people. There were 3,000 added at Pentecost. This, the first church, the prototype of what we really need to be now. We don't look to some new church movement, some new directive to know what we are supposed to do. We have the Lord's direction, and we have the prototype, and the prototype doesn't change. It's still the same, and Christ is still the head, and he is the one who gives leadership to us. So, in a sense, we are an organism, a living organism, a spiritual organism with Jesus Christ, the great head of the church, and we members of this body. And you have a function in the body, and I have a function in the body. And we were studying it this morning in our new members class, that we are all so different, but the Lord takes us and makes us one in the body and reminds us that he's the head. And as we are an organism naturally organizes itself. Our lives organize themselves. Any organism organizes itself. I have different systems in my body, so do you. I don't know very much about their function. I'm sure that the doctors who are here, Dr. Tom and others, can tell us a great deal about the functions of our body. But they are organized, amazingly organized. And things are done under the control of the head. And so it is in our church. We sometimes get the impression that New Testament churches don't need any organization. But churches are bodies of life automatically organized. And God had organization. So that when the believers came together in assembly in the New Testament church, they had apostles, and the apostles taught them. And we read in Acts chapter 2 that the characteristics were that the people were taught the apostles' doctrine, and they listened, they heeded it, they cared for it. They were taught doctrine, and they continued in fellowship. That is, they enjoyed spiritual conversation and lives together around Jesus Christ. And then they broke bread together at the Lord's table. They remembered the Savior. And the fourth thing they did was to pray. And they realized that prayer was the vitality of the body. They needed to pray. And we do the same things. We have the same basic functions. So that we are teaching doctrine. We don't have apostles anymore. You say, why don't we have apostles? We don't have apostles because apostles were those who had seen the Lord Jesus in his resurrection. And they were given the special responsibility with signs and wonders to give indication of the gospel of God's grace. And when the apostles died, there weren't any further apostles. But God had his servants in leadership. So the organization found in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy, we read that there were elders and there were deacons. And we're told what the qualifications were in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. These were to be godly men as elders. And all of those characteristics indicating just how godly they should be. Very special men. And that's the organizational structure. Elders, who are spiritual leaders, and deacons, who are servants. And there's a sense in which every one of us were deacons. We all have things to do. There are some who have particular responsibilities, all functioning in the body under the headship of the Lord Jesus. And in our church, we seek to follow what the Lord teaches us, and we have elders in our church. And the elders of our church give spiritual leadership, and they meet in our church every Wednesday morning at 7:30. Our elders meet, and they are five in number. I think I can remember their names, and you probably already know them. There's Murray Bennett. There is Lloyd Knight. There is Jim Dornan. There is, will I just swallow for a moment and remember Neil Weidman, and remember Ken McLaren. Ken McLaren. There are five elders. You say, well, do you come to that number automatically? No, it's not an automatic number. These are men that have been appointed and are called by God to act as our leaders. And I'm one of them. I'm a teaching elder in the church. And as we as elders meet and consider the vitality of the church, we have boards that work with us. We have the administrative board of the church that is made up of four people. Fine, I'm not going to name everybody, but these people look after the administration, the finances, and all of the things that are necessary. And we work hand in hand with the elders. We have the missions board. We have the music board. We have the caring board. We have Christian Ed board. These are people who are working in various facets of our church life, and they are accountable to you. They are accountable to the Lord, and they are accountable to the elders. And we work together as a team, as a body, functions. And so the elders are concerned about the well-being of the church, and we meet together to pray and to discuss just what is happening. We talk about people and their needs. And we've noticed and found apparent two very basic needs that need addressing. One is need for administration in our church. Now that we don't have any pastoral staff other than my part-time ministry with you, we have recognized that this administrative responsibility is larger. And we have administration needs that haven't been addressed for a long time. We need to recognize that there's a requirement for us to be incorporated as a church. And you say, well, what has that got to do with the scriptures? We have responsibilities to the state, to the province, to the country, as well as to the Lord himself. And we want to do our business and do it well. We want to do things decently and orderly, and it's necessary for us to incorporate in these days. It's also necessary for us to see how we function and look at our statement of constitution, how we function, and look at it carefully. We're in the 21st century. Not to change the message, not to change what we do, but we need to address what we're doing and see that these things are done well. And we need to find job descriptions for the people who are working. When someone comes and says to us, "What do I do as a member of the Board of Administration?" We need to be able to say to them, "This is what you do, and this is how we do it." And there needs to be administrative structure in this. And we need to establish accountability so that we all know where we stand and what we do before the Lord and before each other, so that what we're doing is done decently and orderly. And I'm not suggesting that it hasn't been in the past. I'm just suggesting that there's a great need for an administrator. So we've been praying about that, seeking the Lord's face. And there's been a need, and there is an apparent need, that came to my attention even more than the administrator, because I'm not particularly the administrator, even though that becomes the responsibility of any pastor. The need that I see to be apparent is a need to have someone directing our ministries, someone who's going to oversee what's happening in music, someone who's going to oversee what happens in our children's programs with Junior Church and Awana, and encourage these people and help them find teachers and leaders and see to it that there's a collation in these activities. And the ladies' ministry and the men's ministry and in other agencies, even in our worship service, there needs to be someone who's giving collation to this, and this becomes an apparent need, a great need. And we want to do more than we're doing. We've established and you've cooperated in regard to our wearing name tags so that we get to know each other and at least can name each other, and we're improving in doing that. At least I am a little bit. And then we go from there to the place that we would like to care for each other, to the place that we have people who are being contacted regularly through what we're calling a telecare ministry. So some of us will be on the telephones every week, phoning everybody who has anything to see what the needs are and praying with people on the phone. And then we have a vast community that's growing across the road from us. How are we going to reach these people? We need to do this through our ministries. We want to establish, and there's so many things we want to do, but are not being able to do because our hands are being held through lack of leadership. So we say, where do we find leaders? And we look around for leaders. And I came to the New Testament scripture and found in Acts chapter 13 that when they had a need in the church in Antioch, and just give me a few more minutes, I'm really belaboring the point, I get excited, but I want to share this with you for a couple of minutes, and you're very patient. In the church at Antioch, they were interested in establishing a mission agency. They wanted to go beyond Antioch, and so five elders came together, five elders in their church. Now, that doesn't mean it's the right number. It's a coincidence, but they were five spiritual leaders. And their names are given to us here in Antioch. There was Barnabas, and there was Niger, and there was Lucius, and there was Manan, and there was Paul. And the five of them met together, and they prayed, and they recognized, what are we going to do? If we're going to meet these needs, how are we going to meet these needs? What are we going to do? How are we going to support this? And so as they prayed, it seemed obvious to them that two of their own number, 40% of the elders, were commissioned, and they were sent as missionaries to go to the ends of the earth. Barnabas and Saul were sent from that elders' board in Antioch to go. Their own men. And you know, the interesting thing is that God has laid upon our hearts, and we share it with you, that there are two of our own men who are as qualified as anyone we could ever find to do these matters of responsibility and administration and in ministry. They can do it better than anyone we can bring. They are known to us. They are spiritual men. They are elders of our church. And they are busy men, but we have felt that we would ask them, by the grace of God, if they would consider a call in an interim situation, in an acting capacity during this time, to take on these responsibilities, the responsibilities of administration and looking after all of those details that I mentioned, plus so many more, and the administration, the matter of ministry, of all of our ministries, and give collation to it and leadership to it and training to it, so that we can go forward instead of standing still. And the Lord has led us to ask Ken McLaren to become our acting administrator. And he's led us to ask Lloyd Knight to become our acting director of ministries. And this has been something that we have considered for a period of time, have prayed about. We met with the elders met with the administrative board, and we have considered, and they have asked questions carefully. The questions they would ask of us were questions like, how do we consider this not to be a conflict of interest when we have our own men involved in the ministry of the church? And we point to Acts 13 and see what Paul and Barnabas were sent by their own people. They were supported by their own people. And therefore, we have a scriptural precedent for it. And there aren't people any wiser than Ken McLaren in administration, where he has been all of his adult life in the school board, school system. And Lloyd has been in ministry for years and years. When I first came, I said, it's wonderful we have Lloyd Knight to assist us in our worship. But then he would be away for a Sunday, and then another Sunday. This was part of his ministry, and it, quite frankly, was part of his income. And I said to him, well, isn't there some way that you can be with us? We need you here. And this is the way that we have perceived, and the Board of Administration has made motion that we together present to you this whole matter of these men being active leaders in our church in this period of time, that they be reimbursed for what they do. And they work on a part-time basis. And you say, what about the administration? I give you a verse of Scripture that tells us the answer to this, about the payment. Verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor. That's 1 Timothy 5. Paul speaking to Timothy in the church at Ephesus. The elders who are directing the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. And do you know what double honor means? It means literally, and I say this to you humbly, it means double salary. That's exactly what it means. We don't very often interpret it that way, but that's what it means. And these men have been given to us by God's grace, and I'm delighted to be able to say that they have responded to the invitation that we engage them in these acting ministries during this period of time. The Lord has brought us together for such a time as this. And I share that with you this morning, and thank you for hearing me. We have glorious days ahead. God will bring a man to this pulpit, a family to our church that will lead us. And I'll feel badly in some ways, but I look forward to that day. And we would love to be able to see this ministry going ahead even now, while we wait upon the Lord for his direction. Thank you for hearing me, and I would ask two things of you. Number one, for your support in this matter that the elders and the Board of Administration bring to us. And number two, ask for your prayers. And the support that we need to bring isn't just a matter of saying, yay, I will give my assent, but it's a matter of giving indication to the Lord, I am thankful, and I am willing to support this even with my finances. And if there is anyone holding back finances because you're not sure which way the church is going and we're indefinite about so many things, I would encourage you to give as unto the Lord. It's his money. And the Lord Jesus is the head, and we want to go ahead for the glory of God, and he will meet our needs as he moves upon us to give. I thank you for hearing me, and I hope you don't consider this to be strong admonition. It isn't. It's loving sharing with you this morning. And I'm going to ask that we pray together for these men. And if you have question in regard to it, you could speak to me or speak to the administrative board or speak to one of the elders. But let's thank God together for the direction that we have effective immediately according to the Board of Administration. And may God grant us wisdom as we carry on for the namesake of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all the way you lead us. We thank you for the past when we can see your hand upon this testimony, even over a century of time. And we come to this day and we recognize that you've brought us here as those who are a part of the family. We pray that you'd increase, O Lord, our family, that we would see those that you are leading to Christ and being baptized and added to our number, and help folks who are with us and who are not yet committed members, that they may suggest we would like to stand with you, and we do affirm ourselves with you, even in the membership of Markham Missionary Church. and help us together that we may know the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that we would forget those things that are past and look forward to that which the Lord Jesus has for us, days of victory, and may Satan be frustrated as he would seek to defeat us and bring us to distraction. May the Lord Jesus be seen in our bodies and our lives, and may this testimony reflect his glory. And we pray especially, Heavenly Father, for the leaders of our church. We thank you for the skills you've given to them. We thank you for their commitment to the Lord Jesus, and we pray for each of them. For every agency of our church, we pray and thank you. And we pray especially that you would be with Ken McLaren as he would commence his ministry among us in administering the work that is here, directing us in affairs that are so important. We thank you for his experience, but more than that, for his love for the Savior. And bless him and bless his wife and family. And we thank you for Lloyd and pray that you'd grant to him all that he requires. We thank you that even as he is now giving us time, that you'd help him in the use of his time to give us direction in our ministries. And may there be a new joy and a new sense of purpose as we together strive for the faith of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you and pray that we may go from this place today rejoicing, and that Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, would be honored among us. Bless our time together around your word tonight. And now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you today and even forevermore. Amen.